Now, I don't think I've seen a movie where birdless and insect-free skies herald imminent doom. Quick, cries the dynamic young scientist. Get those parrots to lay more eggs. It is our only chance. While her earnest assistant cradles the last hornet's nest in his arms. But I've seen worse. The genre of disaster movies have a habit of starting from an iota of plausible science and then mangling the rest so badly the experts hold their heads in despair. Hold on, says seismologist Seth Stein. Stop complaining. Turn this to your advantage. He's on a line from the annual meeting of the Geological Society of America, where he's delivering this message. Seth, earth sciences really are the fertile ground for most of these movie horrors.
Absolutely. It's a standard topic of conversation among geologists. What was the absolute worst? And, you know, everyone has their favorite worsts. And what is sillier? What is more ludicrous? What is more overacted, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, since you put the question for you.
Well, as a solid earth scientist, seismologist, it's undoubtedly the movie The Core.
That's one where they drill right down into the core of the earth to kick it back into life or something.
Yes. A group of what are called Terranauts descend to the core in a special spacecraft made of what's called unobtainium. And the idea is that a secret U.S. government project has caused the Earth's core to stop spinning. So the Earth's magnetic field is dying off, and blasts of, you know, solar radiation, solar wind, etc., are starting to kill life on Earth. And so the plan is for the Terranauts to descend to the core and then set off thermonuclear bombs so as to set the core spinning again. And the list of things that's nonsense in the movie is almost endless.
But there's actually some good stuff already that your students could learn from. They know now that there is a core in the Earth, so the guys got that right, that it's responsible for our magnetic field. They got that right. And they got the connection with solar radiation particles and
they
stuff
like that.
They
got that right.
They got those three bits right.
Yes, and they actually, another thing they get right, which I give them credit for, that's a good analogy in classes, remember, if you show this in class, is that the Earth's core is about the size of Mars. But then they do incredible numbers of things wrong, such that you can show clips from the movie in different classes, depending on which error you're trying to emphasize.
And that's the point for you. You're actually using this as a teaching tool.
Oh, yes. There's a marvelous scene where the movie's hero is explaining how seismic waves go from one kind of material to another, and he gets it completely wrong. And our students particularly like this because in the movie, the professor is teaching at the University of Chicago, which is our crosstown rival.
So I suppose the one which struck me, and maybe close to you, would be San Andreas, the one about the San Andreas fault breaking, which is so overdone, but also so wrong, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the most important thing there is that tsunamis are generated because the seafloor goes up and down. So at a fault like the San Andreas, where one side slides relative to the other, then of course you can't generate a tsunami, much the less a gigantic tsunami like they generated. And the nice thing, if you think about it from a class, is once you've gone through this with a class, this really sets people in their heads that no, that kind of motion won't generate a tsunami. The other kind of motion will generate one. And picking on the movie where they got it wrong makes it much more memorable for the students than if you just told them.
Okay, so I'm going to give you half a minute now to come up with a storyline that's absolutely horrifying, good drama, but real science.
Absolutely horrifying, but real science. Well, you know, a lot of the disaster movies have at their heart, parts of it are actually fairly good. The Martian was a really, really well-done movie, and on the whole, they did very well. And the only thing that was wrong was done consciously wrong when absolutely needed for dramatic purposes, which is, if you remember, the disaster starts because of a major wind and sandstorm that destroys things. Now, they were correct. The winds on Mars are very, very high. The downside is that the density of the atmosphere is so low that the winds wouldn't do you any harm. They're going very fast, but they're not packing any mass. Now, that they knew perfectly well. They did have excellent advice on that one. But in terms of to create the necessary disaster, they did it. But otherwise, they made a very serious effort to get it right. It's a really exciting movie. At the end of it, you actually do get an appreciation of what the problems are of exploring Mars.
And in the case of the San Andreas, which we were talking about, the director, Brad Peyton, brought in a famous seismologist, Thomas Jordan, to help them out. It's not like they don't try.
I think they generally will ask for advice. And the question is, what impossibilities are needed to make the story work? You know, there's always a certain amount of suspension of disbelief in any kind of disaster type things. And the question is, at what point does it get out of hand so that it becomes more ludicrous than not? And at what point is it harmless puffery, you know? So it's a tricky balance. And a lot of times, a lot of scientists have said, look, you know, I'll be involved if you do this, but if you go that far, I can't do that.
But you don't regard yourself as too smug in all this?
No, I don't think so. I think we all understand that, you know, there are things that are needed for dramatic purposes. So things that are utterly ridiculous, like volcanoes erupting in the middle of Los Angeles, we feel this is great fun to laugh at. It really helps even beginning students see things. More subtle errors, again, are actually quite useful for our purposes in teaching. It's, you know, it's what causes the class to openly laugh is really the issue.
It helps just to get them on side now and again, I suspect.
Yeah, it gets them on side. And there's also, it helps them feel that they're becoming members of the community of scientists, that they start to see things, you know, like volcanoes don't erupt in LA, strike slip faults don't generate tsunamis, you know. This idea that the density of the atmosphere of Mars matters, not just the speed of the wind. And so in a sense, you're helping even beginning students become part of the, it's hardly a secret club of scientists, it's an open club of scientists, but you're letting them into some of the secrets. And I think everybody likes that.
And now everyone listening to us is a member of that club. Seth Stein, thanks very much. Lessons, I guess, for all of us there somewhere, I hope.